Thank you for joining For Our Special Kids, where we openly and honestly discuss the magic and the mess of raising a child with special needs. We are thrilled to have you here and hope this time provides you with some wonder and wisdom. I'm your host, Jennifer Lansing. Let's get started. Today I'm with Jim Gavin of Key of Awesome Music. During our discussion, you can really feel his passion for songs and all things musical. I wish you could have seen him on the video. It's very fun. Today we talk about why music is so transformational for basically everyone. Jim tells his personal story as to how music really changed his life and why working with the disabled community is where his soul feels alive and fed. Jim shares stories and personal anecdotes in this really fun conversation. And in the end, he actually ends up telling us where the name of his company originated. Pretty fun. He also provided me with some music to use in today's recording. So you'll hear him on the hung drum. He mentions that at the end of the recording and why that might be so valuable for our community of children and adults. And then he also shared a few cuts of his original music, which I'll intertwine somewhere within the recording. I hope you enjoy and let me know what you think. Okay, Jim, let me introduce you. Jim Gavin is the founder and CEO of Key of Awesome Music. Their mission is to improve quality of life through music. Jim and his team offer engaging and interactive one-on-one lessons on a variety of instruments, along with group sessions and/or performances. They feature sing-alongs to guided percussion, sign language through songs, and other special programs and assemblies. Jim also provides songwriting workshops virtually and face-to-face in New Jersey. Everyone at Key of Awesome Music believes that music is the best tool to create a positive impact on those they serve and support. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you. It was a very kind introduction.
we're very excited to talk with you. And I know just working with Teal, she just explodes and blossoms when I see her in music and she hears certain songs and you can just see her body just start moving and relaxing. So what has music done in your life, like specifically for you, and how did you get into all of this?
I love to hear that kind of thing, you know, because I experience much of the same. You know, I listened to music as a kid just on the radio and on cassette tapes.
Yay, go cassette tapes.
Yeah. And then leading into CDs eventually. But I never really had an interest in learning an instrument until I had an injury playing soccer. And in the rehabilitation process, I didn't know what to do with myself because I had all this energy as like a teenage boy. And I'm like, I got to do something with this. And my dad had this old beat up guitar in the corner and I picked it up and asked him to teach me a couple chords. And I literally just played for hours on end every day after school because I couldn't play soccer. So what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I just started teaching myself, learning by ear. And it just kind of went from there. So I got into music a little bit late. Most people who do it for their career, I feel like learn it when they're a little kid, like 4 or 5 years old, and then go through it that way. I didn't get into it till I was 16. By an injury. It was honestly one of the best things that happened to me in my life. Who would have thought, right? Like a blessing in disguise, getting injured made it so that I had to channel my energy elsewhere. And I just started writing songs from there, playing in bands, but I was always doing it on the side. And I just kept having this yearning. I need to do this like all day, every day somehow. And it ended up being that I was working at a music company in New York City. It wasn't really that much fun at this job, but it did kind of teach me the business side of the music industry. But something was missing. You know, even though I was doing music all day, technically, by working at a music company and then doing music on the side, it just wasn't enough. I kind of went through a quarter life crisis, if you would call it that.
Yes.
And I started reaching out to a whole bunch of nonprofits, and that got put on my mind for my mom.
Tell me about your mom.
Both my parents are great, but my mom, she's something else. She's always been on my side with music. She played and still plays to this day piano very well and sings at church. So music's always been there, but I never had an interest as a kid. I was just like, okay, mom, you'll sing. That's fine. during this whole process of me learning guitar, and then it went on to other instruments, she started to really see the passion that I had in it and would just encouraged me to send my resume out to a bunch of different places instead of just feeling like I was stuck in New York. I decided I was going to reach out to nonprofits because they're always, pretty good causes. And I ended up volunteering first at a group home with adults who have developmental disabilities, mostly those who have Down syndrome. And I fell in love with it. And I wasn't even doing music there. I was just helping out, like stuff around the house. And it was a lot of fun. It dawned on me, I gotta see if I can do this full time somehow. I brought my guitar and my piano there once, and it was like, it went over so well. I said, that's it. In this midst of volunteering and sending my resume out, I got really lucky. And I started working at the ARC Mercer, which is the county I used to live in. It works with adults who have developmental disabilities and physical disabilities. And I got tasked to start a music program from scratch. And so I had a blast doing that. And then I left to go to another organization doing the same type of work, just on a little bit of a bigger scale. And we were going all throughout the state. It was pretty neat, going to different day programs and group homes. And like they deemed me the music man.
Yes, I was
So,
thinking, I'm like, yes, you're the music man. He's
yeah, that's
got
what it was. Like,
me.
if people forget my name, that's fine. Call me the music man. And so it's easy to remember. And I could think of a lot worse things to be called, right?
Yeah, true. Well, as you were talking, I got shivers. And usually when I get shivers, it's kind of like a sign from my spirit team or God or whomever. And it's like, oh yes, he is in his element doing this. And you even just like your mannerisms, no one can see the video, but your mannerisms and all like your body motions and all of that were just really passionate. So I can tell that it really is close to your heart. And you didn't have any experience growing up with disabilities or people with disabilities.
No, I mean, in a way, I saw that as a good thing in some respects and a bad thing in other respects. The good thing is it just helped me be who I am naturally, and I didn't treat anyone really any differently. And that apparently was like a superpower that I didn't know I had, because a lot of people have said, "Dude, you're just like so good around everybody." And I'm like, "Well, like I just treat everybody like everybody else, Like if I want to give somebody a fist bump or a high five or like a half a hug or like, dude, what's going on? How was your weekend? I just talked to them like normal. I wasn't like trying to treat them like something else."
Well, and that's something that's really tricky. It's really tricky when people talk down to others in any setting, right? If I'm in a setting and someone talks down to me, I don't feel good. And why would my daughter feel good when you talk to her like she's a 2-year-old and not a 7-year-old? Don't talk baby talk to me. Treat me as I should be treated, like a typical, wonderful, incredible, magical human being. And I bless you for that because it's hugely powerful, the gift that you are giving these organizations by simply coming in and saying, you and me, we're the same. Let's play music. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's have fun. This is supposed to be a fun, celebratory, and a little bit of an educational experience. And me and like my team of, I call us music missionaries. We go around to different places and we try to just spread goodness through music. And some of it's just fun sing-along. Some of it's we're learning some sign language through songs because not everybody can communicate verbally like me and you can, but they might know some signs. And then some guided percussion, because who doesn't like to bang on some drums, so
Oh yeah. So speaking of experiences, what's been one of the biggest learning experiences you've had throughout this process?
Well, one of them for sure has been patience. Learning that I need to be way more patient, not only with the individuals that I support, but with myself. There is a tremendous learning experience I had when I first started in this field at the ARC. I was hell-bent on, okay, everybody's going to learn exactly what I'm going to teach them in exactly the same way. And well, I learned quickly that wasn't really going to work, because I would teach one person one thing and it worked for them. And then someone else, I did the same thing and they weren't getting it. I felt like I was beating my head against the wall. And my boss at the time saw that I was visibly frustrated and pulled me aside one day and said, "Jim, you gotta take it easy on yourself. You're gonna burn yourself out. You're so great with everybody. Just continue to just do your music thing, but look at it in a way that you're not really going to be expecting everybody to learn Beethoven's Fifth Symphony or whatever on the first try, or maybe not ever, but just to be there and spend time with them and know they know that you care about being with them and really being in the moment. And that will change how you look at this. And I, that night, went home and I rewrote everything, just completely threw it out the window and rewrote how I was going to do stuff with people. It was really cool. He set me on this motion to think differently about how I can make an impact with music that wasn't so structured and focused.
Oh, it's a good reminder for all of us to hear as parents, to have patience and grace with ourselves. My daughter makes huge strides and all of our children make huge strides. If you look back from where they were even 6 months ago, it's something that we as a parent say, gosh, look at that. Look at, you're feeding yourself. You're actually putting the spoon into your mouth. I mean, if I think about how tricky it is for Teal to do certain things like that, and then to have you come in and say, okay, now you have to beat on this drum at exactly this beat, that would be really hard for her, because getting her brain to get her hands to do exactly what she wants it to do. See, there's a difference. She still wants to be on the beat, but there's just that delay of getting her body to do what her mind wants her to do. We all have to have that patience and understanding. And you just happened to get an experience about that early on. And I'm sure, like you said, it shifted everything. What are some of the positives that you've seen from children or adults being in your programs?
Well, there are some moments that I know every single week that I witness certain miracles, honestly. So I'm going to share one of them because I believe in miracles.
And me too.
So for me, this miracle that I see every single week is an individual I spend time with. I've known her the entire duration I've been in this field. She's been under my care musically for about 13 years then. And she can't do, say a full sentence like me and you can, but she will say hungry. Eat. She means I'm hungry. I like to eat food now, but she just says hungry. Eat. It's like fragments.
Yeah.
She'll sing an entire song without missing one word. And to me, I witnessed that that's a miracle because, and I'm not the one, it's the music. And a lot of this has to do with Disney songs. She's a big Disney Broadway musical fan. And I've noticed this a lot too, with a lot of the individuals I spend time with. They're very attuned to things that are very theatrical, dancing and singing and animated and cartoons and stuff. And she, for whatever reason, she never misses a word, and she sings not perfectly in key, but very close. Yet if I were to tell her to talk out the lyrics, she can't do it. That's an amazing thing, that music has connected something in her brain that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that I always love to share because I see it every single week I spend time with her. And I don't want to say her name for confidentiality reasons, but I'm always like, you know, so-and-so, you put a smile on my face every time we spend minutes with each other. So,
yeah. Have you done any research on the brain chemistry and the neural connections that happen as a result of music?
I've done a little bit of reading on what music can do to impact the brain, but I'm not technically well-versed enough in that to really, you know, dig deep in it. I do really like the book Musicophilia by Dr. Oliver Sacks. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's really cool. It really takes one-off situations and people that have been under this doctor's care, who isn't technically a musician first and foremost, but Musicophilia is a really cool book showing cases where somebody legitimately got struck by lightning once and they survived and didn't know how to play an instrument beforehand and were a virtuoso on the piano after they got struck by lightning. So just crazy scenarios like that, that can rewire your brain.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know. Yeah. It's like, not that you're going to get struck by lightning. But,
no, I know. I was like, this isn't a really good thing to be talking about, but at the same point.
Another thing that's really neat that I've read about and know from a little bit firsthand experience is I go into nursing homes and assisted living facilities for usually adults who have dementia or Alzheimer's or some sort of memory care. And music, the part of the brain that processes music, and I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but it's the last part that gets affected when you have a memory issue. So that's the reason why music's so important to go into places like this and to try to tap into a long-term memory from when they were a child and, you know, play songs from the 30s and 40s or 50s.
we can all experience that, right? If you're trying to figure out what happened in 1995, go and figure out the top 10 list in 1995. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm back there. I got it. I remember my life then. Yeah. And it's wonderful to remember that as we continue to grow with our children. If there's certain happy moments in their lives, like, let's just play those songs again.
Like, you see it almost like it's like a musical time capsule.
Right.
That's how I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Are there any songs that you have that have just really impacted a group or an individual?
Well, like I mentioned already, anything from Disney, Broadway, musical, show tunes does really well in this space of the human services field. I've also noticed Johnny Cash and Elvis does really well with the older folks.
Yeah, yeah, they do well with me too. So
and the Beatles.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson. And I think the Beatles and Michael Jackson and Elvis for sure is because they're all dancing. They're theatrical. And it's something that they can attune to that's not just the music, but the sort of visual effect to it too.
True.
For children, I mean, really anything. It's pretty cool. I don't necessarily have to play traditional children's songs or traditional folk songs for children to just let loose. Really anything that's positive and upbeat. And there's even a space for slower song.
Mm-hmm. And are you writing your own music, Jim?
I do write my own songs. Yes.
In terms of that, have you started incorporating some of your own music into these programs to connect with a spirit side, kind of like a heart-to-heart connection? Because when you create your own song, I would imagine it really resonates with your heart. And then looking at how could you then connect with another person's heart through your music?
Yeah, I love that. I've really just started recently doing that over the last year. It's been really cool to share a piece of myself like that with everybody.
Nice. So tell me a little bit more about your company, Key of Awesome Music.
Well, first I'm going to start with the name. Well, first it's just like a fun play on, sort of like a play on words with music. It's like, okay, this music has to do with musical keys. Awesome. I mean, that's a great adjective. And put it all together, you got Key of Awesome Music. But where it started, to this day, I don't know how to read music. It's all intuitive. It's all by ear. It's one of the gifts I've been given is I don't know how to read music, but I can play a whole bunch of songs on various instruments and I can write. The music is in me. I don't know how else to explain it. So I preface it with that because we never had a full-time bass player in the band. And this one guy filled in for us one show and he turns to me and he says, "What key is this song in?" And I was just being sarcastic. And I just said, "It's in the key of awesome."
Oh my God, that's great.
And that stuck with me, that moment. And that used to be like an inside joke we had with the band. Or we would just say, "What key is this in?" I'd be like, "Key of awesome," you know? And so it was just a silly joke we had and it spawned into, wow, you know, that could be a neat name for a company.
I like and it.
That's where it started from to where it evolved to. Yeah.
Nice. Talk with me about your business.
Wow, there's a lot going on, which is really good. We do one-on-one lessons, virtual and in person, on various instruments that could be guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, drums or percussion, and voice. We also do group sessions, virtual and in person still, and guided percussion. So like small little drum circles, I bring a bag of instruments and encourage people to use them for sing-alongs, as well as some guided percussion, just fun things I've developed over the years of being in the field and done some of my own research online, and then sign language through song. So it's kind of a concoction of all three. We also do songwriting workshops, which is really cool. I love doing that. And that's with adults who have developmental disabilities. We partner with another program that's called SKIT, and it stands for Special Kinds of Improvisational Theater. It's like an acting drama improv troupe. We do a virtual songwriting workshop once a week with a whole bunch of the individuals they support that want to get into it. So we teach them how you go about writing a song or putting a song together, what instrument you wanted to choose, how to rhyme, how to have phrases that make sense. I kind of just guide them through that process. It's really fun. And virtual, we have a YouTube channel where we put out educational and fun content there. It's just at Key of Awesome Music. I've also written some children's books that I've self-published. I like the use of alliterations. So a lot of my children's books are A to Z alliteration books for kids to learn basically tongue twisters. And
yeah. And all this is on your website.
All of this can be found on keyofawesomemusic.com. And on our company Facebook page, I believe, has a lot of this listed too. I've created course content on Udemy and Teachers Pay Teachers, which are two different sites where you can have visual content that's like a learning curriculum. All of this is all music encompassing.
Wonderful. And I'll put all of that in the show notes. Is there anything that you wish parents were to know about music and how it could positively impact their children with disabilities?
The best way to answer this is to just continue to do what you are doing with your child and just expose them to as many different things that they're open and willing to be exposed to, musically, for sure. Sometimes just listening to music with no vocals is a wonderful thing. And I've noticed this even for myself. And so I've encouraged some of the individuals I spend time with who maybe have sensory issues. And when things get too loud, to let's just put on maybe noise canceling headphones and you don't even listen to anything. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you put on some nice instrumental music with like a stream in the background or like a river flowing and a nice piano. Mm-hmm. There's all different ways that we can encourage our children to get into music. And it doesn't necessarily have to be playing an instrument. I feel like all parents should know about a couple musical instruments, even if you don't know how to play music, because you can sound good on them with having no experience. You can play what's called a hong drum. They're not cheap, but or hand pans. Would you mind if I played it?
I would love to hear it.
So it looks like a flying saucer or like a turtle, big turtle shell.
Yeah.
It's like a meditative instrument that you can hug, mm-hmm. right? And so you can feel the music vibrating towards you, and there's no wrong notes on here. It's not like a traditional musical scale, like on a piano. This one, there's no wrong notes. You can hit anywhere on it.
Right.
And it's going to sound good. And so that's one thing I really love about this musical instrument, and really any percussion instrument, is like, you're going to sound decent on a percussion instrument. You just have fun banging it or shaking it. It doesn't have to be complicated. It'd be a small little egg shaker. You know, you can use pencils as drumsticks. Mm-hmm. So getting creative and thinking, not just like, I have to buy the thing that's in the store. No, you can use household stuff and encourage your child to be creative in that way.
I adore that. I'm looking forward to doing some research on that drum because it sounds incredible.
I just love it. You go onto it and you can't make a mistake.
Because that's such a huge thing. Our children are so used to being told what they can and they can't do. That's wrong. Don't do that. Please stop. Don't hit. I mean, there's so much direction of how they live their lives at school and at therapies and at home. And what a gorgeous way to just say, play, feel it in your heart, love it, you know, pull it up to your chest and feel the music.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there's another instrument called the cabasa too I want to share. It's spelled C-A-B-A-S-A. It's beads. And for those who are sensory oriented, and even if you're not, it's just fun. There's beads on it and you can kind of roll it up against your sleeve. You can roll it up against your body. And if you are sensory oriented in that way, it's a beautiful way to play an instrument and get the sensory sort of feelings out. Mm-hmm. So I love that one too. It's a small percussion instrument.
Okay. This is wonderful. And I think what you're really doing is just simply empowering people to follow what's in their heart, and however it comes out is just what it should be. Music is your own creation. And I love how you said it. There's certain things you just can't be wrong about. And this is one of them. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about music. I can talk all day about it.
So. I know. I can see and feel the passion. So I love it. I love it. And you know, I think it's so great that you're doing virtual, so that if people aren't in the New Jersey area, they can still connect with you and still give their adult child or their adult or their child an opportunity to try something new. And what a cool thing that you're offering. So I will make sure that I encourage everyone to do some research on you. And your website does have some great videos and your story on why you're doing this and some of the positive impact that you've seen. So I encourage people to also go to your website and look that up, because the imagery and the videos on there are really wonderful as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for spending time with us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you found one or two meaningful nuggets of information to make your day better. If you think there's value in what we do, please take a moment to tell another friend, family member, or caregiver. We'd love to hear from you at forourspecialkids@gmail.com. You can send in a question, a comment, a topic that you'd like to learn more about, or if you'd like us to highlight a certain person, please send that information to us. It makes our show so much better and so much more valuable for you. Our Facebook and Instagram handle is For Our Special Kids. And finally, remember to witness the wonder and the wisdom within yourself and others. Until next time.